you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Luke Tenney, Mitch Duvall, and the producers of Deadly Class all stop by to talk Episode 7, Rise Up. Stay tuned. Hello and welcome to the official Deadly Class podcast brought to you by Sci-Fi Wire. I'm your co-host, Max Tedaldi, and with me, as always, is...
Jackie Jennings.
Yeah, and we're here to talk Episode 7, Rise the F Up.
Rise Up.
Now, there are not expletives in that episode title, but it's fun to say. This episode was a banger. It was funny. There was a lot of action. There was a lot of, like, screwed up shit going on.
Ugh, I would say it swung the most... wildly in terms of range, but also effectively between very funny and disturbing.
Like, Fuckface just brought it in this episode.
Yeah.
He's all kinds of weird. He's talking to Chico's severed head. He's strapping up Shandy to his car a la Mad Max style.
Yeah.
He's messed in the head. He's definitely messed in the head.
Yeah.
This episode also showed us some really sweet world building with what's going on at King's Dominion.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought set the stage for like the big end of season moments with Maria and Diablo and then also Lin and Gao. So it's just nice having those kind of teed up for the last three episodes.
Totally. And if you forget what happened in this episode, here is a little refresher.
My old roommate, she goes by.
If you don't find me in 3 days, these psychos gonna send me home with a knock.
There has to be a better way.
There isn't.
Jimmy John,
show this gimp a little hillbilly how to do.
Oh! You're bringing a ringer.
You cheat.
That's how you usually do it?
I don't do this way. The situation that I'm in.
You act like you have no control.
Hello, brother. The guild will find her.
You have to figure out how to handle Maria.
That's not the reason why you're mad at me, is it?
Rocky wanted to go out of business. You killed? He's gotta go.
Okay, so this episode starts off in Shabnam's home. We're going to get to that because there's a lot of there are used condoms, there's beer, there's chicken wings. It's disgusting. It's a pit. Poor Shabnam's parents.
Yeah.
But before we get into that whole shit show.
An actual shit show.
It is literally a shit show. There's some crazy stuff going on with Marcus, Saya, Billy, and French Stewart, who we could call him the Scorpio slasher, but he's
French. It's French Stewart.
It's French.
I will say, though, he does... Sorry, I kicked Max... For everyone at home, I kicked Max under the table.
It was violent.
He is one of those actors who, until someone points it out, you might not realize it was French Stewart.
He's one of those guys. He's got one of those faces where you're like, oh, okay, I know you. Where do I know you from?
Yeah.
And it's always Third Rock from...
I'm also very into this. I'm prepared to call it a trend because Bronson Pinchot in Sabrina, in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, also excellent playing against type. And I feel like there's this resurgence of really fantastic actors who maybe were like typecast for sitcoms in the like late 90s. Now, you know, I mean, they never left, but like,
Perfect Strangers, Bronson Pinchot.
Perfect Strangers, yeah. But that, I think it's really cool because it's like, yeah, he's a wonderful character actor.
He's so fantastic. And you knew that, like, they weren't going to just waste him. They weren't going to pump and dump French Stewart in that one little cameo.
Dump French Stewart.
It wasn't the best analogy that I could have
used. But I got it.
But anyway, they weren't going to feature him.
Yeah.
And he had, like, this really nice interaction with Marcus in, was that episode 2 or 3? Back in the day. It was so long ago now. It's like we were so young then. And we haven't seen him because he's been locked up. Mm-hmm. He's literally just locked up at King's Dominion. And when they need him as like a guest lecturer, they wheel him on in and they say, hey, talk to our students about being a serial killer.
Yeah. Even that concept to me, I know it's okay. This maybe is something a sociopath would say, but I think it's so funny. The concept that they just have this serial killer on loan from a prison and they keep him in probably better conditions than he should be in if he was disemboweling and eating people. Yeah, he's got a room. But it's so funny that they're just like, we got to talk about psychology.
It almost feels like when soccer players are on loan at different clubs.
Yeah. Right,
where it's like, it's almost like they're trading them back and forth depending on what their students need to learn.
Yeah. Back to jail. Like, what was that plea deal? It's very funny.
Oh, French.
But yeah, he's so funny. And
he's ridiculous.
The reason he's in this episode so much is because Marcus and Saya, Marcus realizes Fuckface is out to get them, and they've got to track him down, which it's such a fleeting moment. But I was saying before that I think it's an important little piece of like character and world building that I think it's Saya says to Marcus, we're assassins, not detectives.
Yeah.
Which is this little clarifying thing of like, oh, yeah, they're not training them to be super sleuths. They're training them to kill.
Right. And there have been those moments where, you know, they need to break out of detention. And Marcus is like, oh, I'll just pick this lock because I am a pickpocket. But this is one of those skills that they don't have. They need to go to outside sources.
Yeah. They need that.
To find Fuckface.
Yeah. They need to get inside of his head. And that's one serial killer to another. So they get the scorpion slasher or the Scorpio slasher.
Scorpio slasher.
As in Zodiac. Yeah. Yes.
Like he loves killing people.
Yeah.
And you know who we found out earlier in this episode does not love killing people is Marcus with his crazy flashback.
Yeah.
That, I feel like, sets off this whole treasure hunt, this Fuckface treasure hunt
emotion,
where Marcus shares his diary.
His diary.
His journal. I guess it's if you're being cool about it, it's a journal.
I guess boys have journals. Girls have diaries.
I feel like if it's got a lock on it, it's a diary.
True.
And if you are writing in something, listening to Black Flag and trying to be cool.
Journal.
It's my journal, man.
It's my friggin' diary, Mom.
Yeah, where I put my feelings in. These are all my sketches.
I'm remembering it for later. Shut up.
Very, very much so. But a crazy flashback, again, ripped right from the comic.
Yeah.
Where we see Marcus being very much emotionally and physically abused in the boys' home.
Yeah.
And Fuckface just being a general bastard, which does set the stage. If Fuckface talking to a severed head didn't set you off that this dude might be a villain, it's probably all of the murdering he does at the boys' home.
So we get all of those crazy backstories that, culminate in this kind of a scavenger hunt for Fuckface. But the Scorpio slasher takes them on this little journey through San Francisco first.
But not before picking up our straggler, Billy, who's been locked in this like puzzle box room where they're like, here's some riddles.
Yeah.
You know, behind some of these doors is death. Here's another way that you could die. Also a third death. And he's just kind of, he's like, I'm not going to make a decision.
Yeah.
Because I'll die.
Because no matter what happens, I'll die. This is the first time something's felt a little whimsical.
Yeah.
Where it's like, there's a room and there's three doors.
It's evil Hogwarts.
It is, yeah.
And I know that world building stuff is stuff that you dig, Jackie.
Yeah.
Like, and we saw a little bit of that in the previous scavenger hunt where it's like, you've been poisoned. Now answer my riddles three.
Yep.
And perhaps you won't die.
I think it's cool. I think anytime you can see a little piece of the world that it doesn't feel like there's an intent that the director or the writers are going, and remember this room, and you're like, oh, I bet it matters later. It's just sort of their living lives. There would just be a puzzle room that you sort of get locked in for no reason. That makes sense.
Yeah, totally agree.
Yeah, I enjoy that.
So yeah, French is on board, but not before getting some snacks.
Yeah,
I think is like just like a great way for them to be interacting with this character who's just bonkers, crazy, funny, weird.
But my stomach is growling so loud because I know he eats a burrito.
He eats a burrito and an ice cream sandwich. Don't forget that. I know.
I haven't had an ice cream sandwich in so long.
So ice cream sandwiches are one of those things where as a kid, I feel like I appropriated the word chipwich, which I know is a specific type of ice cream sandwich.
Yes, but it's like how tissues are a Kleenex.
Exactly, to mean every single ice cream sandwich.
Yes.
And now looking back on it, I think I can fairly say that. I think Chipwich is the most superior ice cream
sandwich. The definitive, definitive ice cream sandwich. Those chalky, weird, like rectangular.
Yeah, they're not tasty.
They though. Can get fucked. They're bad. I don't like them. But a Chipwich.
You got some beef with those ice cream
sandwiches. Because they used to give us those like it was a damn treat in, oh shit, I almost pulled my headphones off. In Catholic school.
You're so animated, so passionate.
Yeah.
And ice cream sandwich.
It was like we all had to fall on our knees and thank the Lord for these bad, bad ice cream sandwiches.
That is rude.
Yeah, and rude. But at the pool club, at Noe Pond Pool Club, they had Chipwiches.
Yeah, the Chipwich. And what I thought was amazing about the Chipwich was that, and I feel like every group of friends had one kid. There was one kid who would treat the Chipwiches like they were Oreos.
Hate.
And would peel off a cookie layer to create a double Chipwich monstrosity that could not actually be eaten by one person.
Stressed
out. Could not be like your mouth, you could not unhinge your jaw to eat this.
No.
Thing. It's like if you go to a pub and they serve you one of those pub burgers that's just been like stacked on, stacked on, stacked. It's way too much.
What am I supposed to do with this?
No, you have to like use a fork and knife, which is, no one wants to be that kid who's eating a Chipwich, a double Chipwich for that matter.
Yeah.
Fork and knife. You're going to lose all your friends.
Yeah, and you deserve to.
You do deserve to. So
fascinating. How did we even? Oh, because French Stewart eats it,
and he's magnificent. He's enjoying it. He's also toying with them.
Yes,
right.
He's a serial killer.
You know that he has the ability to absolutely wreak havoc upon them.
Yeah,
and he's enjoying this little cat and mouse game that he's playing with. Them. He's teasing them.
Yeah.
And they eventually find Fuckface.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's pause. Rewind.
Uh-huh.
Rewind.
Whoa, Max is actually going backward. That's insane.
my shoulders were going backwards. Walking backwards in space.
Crazy.
It made zero sense. So Fuckface has completely taken over.
Yes.
The Shabnam household.
So we're going back. Yeah, because now we've gone through. We've arrived at Fuckface.
We're going back.
What's Fuckface been doing while they're looking for him?
And taken over this household.
Yeah.
And has brought in his rowdy, crazy family.
Yeah.
I mean, they're destroying this, so they're being disgusting with this house. But I think most noticeably, he's just chilling with Chico's head.
Yes.
So fucked up.
He has Chico's severed head, which he saved as evidence, on ice in an ice bucket with beer. And it, through his delusions, we see it talking to him, which is so weird.
But does give you a little insight into the psyche of a serial killer. I wonder why, out of all the people he's killed, that Chico's head is the one that he saves. What is he enjoying about Chico? What does Chico represent?
Think he was partially saving it to threaten Marcus with.
Yeah.
Like, it's evidence.
That makes sense.
Maybe also, I don't know.
Maybe he thinks Chico's cute. Which he is.
Yeah.
And you know who's also cute is Mitch Duvall, who's playing a severed head in this episode.
Yeah.
That had to have been so much freaking fun for him. Because it's like, it's him, but it's him through Fuckface's deranged brain.
Yeah.
So there's like this weird filter going on.
Yeah. And we actually, we got to talk to Mitch a little bit about what it was like to play the dead, severed head of the character you had been playing for the past five episodes.
So fun.
Yeah.
So this is not Chico. This is Chico's head, but Chico is long gone. So what I saw, it was more of a Fuckface's imagination. You know, it was a figment of his imagination. This is just a reflection of what Fuckface would think that a Mexican severed head would sound like. And so I really try to change the whole character, you know. Chico's a killer. Chico's a serious guy. And the head is just having the greatest time of his life. The head is just chilling with Fuckface. They become really good friends. They have some beers together. And so I found that so funny, yet so disturbing, that I think, like, audiences are going to, like, hate themselves for liking it and for laughing at such a weird situation. I really do feel that the whole episode, it's super weird. If I'm clear with spoilers and stuff, you can see Dwight Shandy tied to the van, dressed as a bunny with his nipples out. You can see French Stewart's character, the serial killer, get off the wheelchair and just gut people up. And so I think it's a really it's a really good episode, because after this episode, the last three that we have left are gonna get serious and crazy. So I really like this episode because it's like a breather inside this crazy world. You know, the setups for the head were a trip. You know, I had to be sitting down inside like a kitchen island. They made like a hole where I would pop up my head and just, they would put the bucket with a hole too on top of my head. They would put the fake eyes, and then I couldn't move for maybe 2 to 3 hours, you know? And it was crazy because, you know, like I had literally a wall between my neck and the rest of my body. So, you know, I could move freely, my hands and my things, but just the head was the thing that was popping out. And, you know, it was all about patience. I was there for a while filming the scenes. It was a trip because then there's a scene in the bathroom on a counter. That one was the hardest because my body is facing total opposite position than my head because I couldn't fit, you know, like it was too small of a place. And they were like, Mitch, you're going to have to like pull some Cirque du Soleil type of stuff to like fit. We believe in you. And so like literally I was like kneeling with one leg. The other one was extended. I was like leaning on an apple box and then twisting my neck to kind of look forward. And that was the hardest one.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly the scene you're talking about. That scene is also very wild for so many reasons. Did you know day one, you know, my character is going to die and then is going to be ahead for a while. Did you know that going in, or did you get the script for episode 6 and 7 and you were like, excuse me, what am I doing?
Yeah, no, you know, I did know about the death because Chico's death is the finale for the volume, for the first volume of the comic. So I knew it was coming. But when I read the other volumes, I saw that the head spoke to Marcus in the second volume. But, you know, with VFX right now, CGI, it didn't even cross my mind. You know, when I finished the whole negotiations, the entire stuff, I was told I was going to be in 7 episodes. And Chico dies in the 5th episode. So I was like, okay, no worries. I die in the 5th episode. I'm not in 2 more episodes, but I'm still getting paid. No worries. And then suddenly I get the script. And I heard the conversation, you know. Like they told me, hey, Mitch, we need you to make a cast because we're going to use your head for the future. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, no worries, man. But when they did the cast, I was like, okay, the head is the head. I'm Chico. Maybe the Russos, Rick Miles, thought it could be funny to not use the cast and just use me, you know? And I was like, because, you know, in this episode, you just see the head in episode 6, you just see the head in the ice bucket. In episode 7 is when the head starts talking. So when I got episode 6, I was like, okay, they just need me to just lie there and be dead. But then I got the other episode, and it began with Chico's head just being like, hey, man, how you doing? And I'm like, whoa, 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 what's going on? Are they going to, like, CGI my mouth, and I'm going to do, like, a dub, like an ADR? And then the director for that episode, Anthony, came up to me, and he's like, no, man, you're going to do it. Like, we already have 3 different furnitures. Set it up for you to be inside of them with your head popping out, and it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be a ride. And I was like, okay, I love it.
All right, we're gonna pause now for a commercial break, but don't you pause.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
But then, you know, Chico's head basically convinces Fuckface that they're going to go out on the prowl and that he's going to strap up Shandy to his car and they're going to go get some animals.
Mm-hmm. They're going to go help.
Which, river, that's my fast forward.
Yep, yep, yep.
Now we're at the...
We're there.
The big confrontation between... Which, I was expecting maybe a little bit more action in this scene. Like, it was really frustrating.
Yeah.
That they just ran away.
Just seeing them run after and lose them.
Completely.
It was frustrating, but it was also like, I almost would rather see that than see some insane, like, Saya's, like, you know, hanging off of fire escapes, doing all this shit that's like, yeah, they had a car.
Yeah.
They got away.
So they just drove away. There is a great moment where French Stewart is being held back basically like a dog on a leash. And he looks back at Billy, and Billy's just like, oh, yeah, yeah, I'll just drop this. I want no part of what you're bringing to this.
Just go for it.
You do you. Go do your serial killer thing. That's why we have you here.
Yeah.
And I'm going to take a back seat in this adventure.
Also, we are watching the version without some final VFX. So when the guts fall out, it's just like raw guts. And it says like, add blood. And I was like, wow, that's worse than blood.
Yep.
Just this like...
Yep. And it's just like, here's a colon, here's a stomach, here's a liver. And it's
so clinical and gross. I was like, oh.
Your organs are just free floating, right? In your body. You can just pull them right out.
Wait, no. They're very compacted, right?
Yeah, I think they're compacted. There's also like that fascia stuff that I think connects them. But in the version that we watched, it was just like liver spilling out. It was like each one was very neat.
Can I tell you tidy. A story that's insane?
I love it.
That I remember. I went to Johns Hopkins, which is known for doctors, which I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty fucking obvious.
You're a doctorate of deadly class.
Yeah.
Though, Jackie.
Based on me being like, aren't your organs tight? But I took a neuroscience class there and they brought us brains to look at. I'm just remembering this thinking, but I'll never forget it. A person's brain in a bucket of like you would buy from Costco of double bubble. So they had like taken this plastic bucket full of bubble gum, cleaned it out, and then a brain was in it.
This is
a place that is training.
This is an institution of learning.
But it was like a class that wasn't for bioengineering majors. So it was just like, they just like clearly gave us the B-list brain. Anyway, that's what the
sounds like that
guts.
Person was a real airhead.
Oh, no. I mean, that is a human's brain that they were like, yeah, I'll donate this to science, not knowing it was going to be in a fucking bucket of bubble gum. Anyway, great school prepared me for this. Anyway, sorry, the raw guts made me think of that. This confrontation is crazy. Also, while all of this is going on, Maria is sort of on her own really sad adventure storyline.
And they're slow burning it too, right?
She
kills
torture.
Chico, and she is now, you get the sense that she's going to be dealing with the aftermath, and the truth is not going to come out, it feels like, until the very end of the season.
Yeah. I don't want to say too much because I do know the way it's written and the way that Maria de Faria plays it feels very much like she's treading water. She's just constantly treading water and doing what she has to do.
Well, particularly in this episode, because we have the introduction of a major villain who shows up in Chico's father, a.k.a.
Diablo,
played by David Zayas, who you may recall from Dexter. And he's so fucking fantastic.
Oh, I didn't. But
a really good mix of just like, he can play really sweet, and then he can turn that dial and be, as evil and badass as he wants to.
Cool.
Yeah, super sweet.
Yeah, he shows up and he is pissed because Maria has not made any progress. They're assuming Chico's dead. There's no body, but he's missing. Nobody knows where he is. It feels like they're resigned to him being most likely dead. And it's really scary. And she has to kill, what's his name?
Yukio.
That's
right. And I've got to say, I love Maria's club look. It's a little sleeker.
Yeah.
She doesn't have the huge perm. She's got kind of a, it looks a little bit blow dried. Like maybe she used an anti-frizz treatment.
Well, I also think it's supposed to be her taking like less care of herself, which is crazy because she still looks beautiful.
Amazing. She looks
but it does feel like it's sort of her, like she's not getting up and...
Yeah.
Doing, she's just sort of
putting in all the effort for the curls.
Yeah. It's just like her kind of a little bit.
She's no longer using Devachan products. She's no longer plumping.
She's just letting it go.
Shameful.
I know. Well, it's the 80s.
That's true.
It is shameful, actually.
She does kind of step up to the plate, right? And she is doing her best to cover all her bases to not be suspected.
Yeah.
And I think she's convincing. So Maria, she's in a pickle. And now she's got basically, she's getting from a bunch of different fronts now, but it's like, enter Diablo. This guy's going to be applying a lot of pressure to Maria in the coming weeks. But we meet Diablo, I mean, honestly, during like the most like fucked up parent-teacher conference of all time. And there's a lot of tension going on with Lin and Gao.
Yeah.
That has not abated from last week's episode.
Yeah.
And in fact, in this week's episode comes to a fever pitch with Gao discovering Lin's family.
Yeah.
Which is, at this point, has to be Lin's worst case scenario, his nightmare.
Yeah. His vengeful little sister finding out that her niece is still alive.
You know who got some this episode is Luke Tenney playing Willie. He's got a little thing going on with Gabrielle. Romance is blooming. It's a sweet, lovely, I'd say maybe the realest relationship in the show, or at least the one grounded in the most actual teenage authenticity outside of a murderous killing school.
So we actually spoke to Luke Tenney about first meeting Gabrielle and what attracts them to each other. So we're on episode 6, obviously, has already happened. We're on episode 7. It feels like Willie is just slowly, I want to say like losing hope, or just sort of, he's just having a hard time with Chico's death and everything that's going on. So I guess, is that, what do you think is going through his mind right now? Like, where is Willie mentally as we're in the back half of the season?
I feel like Willie kind of, it's not that he wants the spotlight. He wants someone to care about what he cares about for once. I think he's starting to feel alone amongst those who he's made friendships with, because no one cares about the same things that he does. I think the conclusion that he's coming to is either find people who do care about the same things or leave the ones that don't. And there is a third option, which everybody's going to have to buckle their seatbelt to discover. That third option is changing what you care about. And if Willie begins to care about the same things as the other students at King's Dominion, his entire perspective, his moral compass, everything will shift. And we'll have to buckle our seatbelts to see what that shift will be like if he goes that route.
So another element that's been introduced in the past few episodes is Gabrielle, is Willie's relationship with Gabrielle. So it feels like he's, you know, he's sort of carving out this little bit of like happiness for himself. Do you think he trusts it? Like, how do you think Willie really feels about her and that relationship?
That's a fantastic question. I think he's going through a lot right now. And the only thing that he wants to do is not go through it alone. No one can really go through what Willie specifically went through. Every one of those people who was at the incident in Vegas, they all, I'm sure, had the thought, if I had that gun, I would have pulled the trigger. I would have done it. So he's faced with shame. He's faced with trauma from his childhood past. He has to deal with all of that. And I think the way that Willie wants to deal with it is to not be around anyone who witnessed him in his shame. I think he wants to escape. And I think Gabrielle provides that. I don't think that he will be truly honest with her. Honesty is not Willie's strong suit. Survival is Willie's strong suit. He's been able to survive in this violent school where violence is a class requirement as a very intimidating force. No one messes with him, which is why he has been able to survive this long. So I don't think he's going to be honest with her, but I do think that he does believe it and he believes in it. I do think that he will fully commit to Gabrielle because she's his escape. I do think that this young lady is sincere. I do think that she came into a comic shop, saw somebody who looked like her, was like, oh, wow, that's kind of rare. And that's something that I've experienced, you know. I'm into anime and a lot of stuff, and it was always rare for me to find other people who look like me who are into the same, like, nerdy, geeky stuff. I was just lucky I was big growing up because nobody wanted to tease me about it because I could sit on them. I was a porker back then, or I was chunky. But I think in Gabrielle's case, she actually really likes this dude. She saw somebody who looks like her in an environment where she feels at home. You know, she went in there looking for a Watchmen comic and started talking to a guy about Superman. Like, she knows her stuff.
Okay.
I do think she really cares about him.
So there's a lot of stuff where you can feel everyone just digging a deeper and deeper hole. Like Maria, yep, trying to get out of trouble with El Diablo, is now probably in trouble with the Kurokis. In trying to get Fuckface, they've now involved a teacher who now knows, you know, now French Stewart knows what's going on. Everyone's just getting in too deep.
It's a simmer.
It's a simmer.
It's definitely
and
a simmer.
Guess what? It just got cranked up to medium heat.
We're up to like 325.
Yeah.
A nice little bake.
Yeah. We're not roasting yet, but no, we will be soon.
And we spoke with Miles Feldsaat earlier this week to break down some of those hidden moments, those Easter eggy moments, the stuff that you may have missed. So here's Miles' take.
So why is Fuckface watching Geralda Rivera and not Donahue when we first go to Shabnam's house?
We always thought what would these people be sitting around watching that popped up as the perfect thing.
Great. Fuckface is reading Ayn Rand while sitting on the toilet. Well, who on your end made that decision?
I honestly can't remember whose pitch that came from. I do remember some kind of conversation was had about it, but I can't remember whose idea that was ultimately. I don't want to give credit to the wrong person because it's such a great little Easter egg.
Right. Is that just probably the ideal book a serial killer would be reading while on the toilet?
Okay. Or a politician.
Oh, okay. Nice. So in this episode, Willie is wearing a Run DMC t-shirt, yet in the comic, Willie explicitly says that Run DMC is, quote, old shit and that he's not into it. Is this a nod to the comic or not quite?
It's not specifically a nod to the comic. I just think we've opened up Willie a little bit more in the show. He's obviously just a character that we're trying to expand in the show a little bit more. We can't rule out that he might land at that opinion once some new hot shit drops.
That is fair. Good point. When we get introduced to Gabrielle and Willie's relationship in her apartment, it sounds like Gabrielle is reading Lone Wolf and the Cub. Is that correct?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Is that one of Rick's favorites or maybe someone else's?
That's actually one of my favorites. I think Rick is also a fan. That was just a comic that as a kid I absolutely fell in love with, and I was at first kind of reluctant because it was black and white. I was kind of like, what is this black and white shit? But once I started reading it, I realized it was just a phenomenal story, and I thought it was a cool thing for her to have and for him to pick up and have a judgment about and then kind of realize, well, maybe this is pretty cool.
Okay, so Shandy is strapped to Fuckface's truck and dressed in that bunny onesie. Is that a Mad Max Fury Road reference? We kind of were thinking of that imagery while we were watching that. Where did that idea come from?
I think it came from Rick being good friends with Brian, who plays Dwight Shandy, and just really wanting to fuck with his friends as much as possible. But it's for sure, I believe there was an email that Rick sent that said, I'd like him strapped to the front of the truck, Mad Max style.
The imagination we had was pretty spot on that.
Yeah, and I believe he said, and put him in a bunny suit.
So that takes us to the end of our podcast. Jackie, what are you looking forward to the most in the final three episodes of the season? That is a loaded question.
Well, I'm looking forward to see where it ends. I think we've talked to some people in interviews about where the season's going to cut off. And I'll be honest, I think it's like a huge, almost dangerously huge cliffhanger to leave the end of the season on.
100%. And like anyone that sort of has read into the comic and knows the general arc of the rats versus the legacy kids, they know that some stuff's about to go down.
And yeah,
I think particularly with some of the students that we saw a lot more of earlier in the season, you know, they're going to come back in a big way.
Yeah, they're not done.
The Shabnams of the world, the Lexes of the world, the Brandys, they're going to have these crazy, the Victors.
They're going to Rise Up.
Ooh.
Thank you.
Just like the episode title.
Yeah. What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking for the Shabnam flip. That is really what I'm looking forward to. And I think that one of my favorite moments from the comic was seeing Shabnam play this very beta male kind of, you know, that's his front. His front is not being threatening.
Yeah.
And kind of being a punching bag for a
lot. And he says it.
Yeah.
He openly says it, and the fact that no one picks up on it, very scary.
Exactly. And he's got a really just cool moment during the finals, again, for anyone who's read the comics, that
yeah.
I'm pumped to see what Isaiah Lenton brings to it.
Yeah, same, same.
Yeah, so I think that'll be cool. So on that note, don't forget to subscribe wherever you podcast. Again, mm-hmm. we love the subscribes. We love talking with you guys on the socials as well. So feel free to tweet, post, whatever, at myself and Jackie.
Yeah.
And we will catch you next week.